This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball is back, which makes it a perfect time to head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. Scott Braun, of course, from Foul Territory. You can watch it on YouTube and listen to any of the 16 shows on the Foul Territory Network. And Scott joins us now. And Scott, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. We'll get to the Orioles momentarily, but we were just talking last segment about these torpedo bats. And a couple of the guys in the room think that they're going to eventually be banned. Do you think torpedo bats will be banned?
Jason, Ken, Tim, great to talk to you all. Give me some torpedo bats and some of those jerks in Profar. Fruit Loops.
Yes.
And I'm good to go. I think I can crack the big leagues with all that. No, I don't think they'll be banned. I think that, like our players have said on Foul Territory the last couple of days, most players will try. Most will not use those bats. Like, oh, I don't like this bat, just like they do with many other variations of bats. So I do not think that the torpedo bats will be banned. And maybe we end up with 15-20% of players that use them, and that's fine. That's okay. So I'm good. Hey, if we want to go back a couple months from now and make changes because offense and homers have doubled, okay. But let's get there first. So I think we're okay with the way it is since it's legal right now. And, you know, the Yankees obviously brought this thing to light over the weekend, but Ken Rosenthal on our show brought up a good point today. He's like, If this was, like, on the Royals broadcast and the Royals had lost the game 5-2, it wouldn't have caught fire like it did. It still spreads around the league. Guys learn about different bats. Obviously, different grips go wild during spring training. Everyone's talking about the kick changeup. This is just part of the baseball lexicon in my mind. So I'm not as concerned as some people are.
And in the meantime, I would say play a lot of overs. The gambling markets play a lot of overs. We were also saying, though, is this not one, Scott, where I feel like Major League Baseball opens themselves up for this stuff? Because, like, in the past, they've changed the ball. They haven't told you to change the ball, right? And then a bunch of physicists deconstruct the ball, and they're like, it's a different ball. Like, could they not have gotten in front of this, like, during the league meetings or whatever, and just said, hey, there's, you know what I mean? There's the science. The game's always changing. These bats are legal. We're aware. Here's, you know, you're going to see teams using them. Blah, 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 blah. Like, because PR is not really their forte. Is this one where maybe they could have messaged it?
Trust me, I can be a harsh critic on them, but I also will give them praise when they deserve it on this one. I'm probably a nothing burger on it. I just don't know if it's been discussed behind the scenes. And do they have to send out a press release that there's a different looking bat, even though we've seen plenty of other different looking bats? You know, the one that has the hockey puck looking knob that looks weird. A couple guys have rocked. You know, the ones where Nelson Cruz had it all juiced up towards the front, no pun intended there.
Wow.
Right? And so we've seen different types of bats throughout the years. I don't think they need to come out with any press release. I mean, there were guys, prospects in the Arizona Fall League that were using them. It's just that it didn't happen to be opening weekend of the season with the Yankees scoring a billion runs off a crappy Brewers pitching staff. So I feel like it's okay. I mean, hey, let's check back. Like I said, if we end up seeing the offense absolutely surge, we can revisit this. I just don't think that's necessarily going to happen here. I think it's going to help some guys that have had issues getting jammed all the time, and most guys are going to be like, nah, I'm good with what I got.
Well, Scott, what's your initial impression of the O's thus far? We've seen some good, we've seen some bad. Nothing's really surprised us in a big way thus far, but what have you seen out of the O's?
On brand. Offense looks good. Sucks to lose Couser for what looks like 6 to 8 weeks, but they've got depth, so I'm not worried about it. Adley was the biggest question mark for me. I'm like, was he hurt last year? Because he never really admitted that. And even behind the scenes, we were trying to check and never really got word on it. So I'm like, what is going on? And you're hoping that it's just one of those situations where it's a young player who just went through immense struggles, just like Corbin Carroll did with the Diamondbacks after my rookie season. I feel much better about Adley. So that is a very big problem for the rest of the division if he looks anything like he did a couple years ago. So overall, my thoughts are pretty positive on the offense. Tyler O'Neill is going to do his thing. You just have to try and figure out keeping him on the field. And the same thoughts remain with the starting staff. And to me, it should have been done differently over the offseason. We've talked about this a lot. So I don't think they're going to run away with the division by any means. I think the Yankees, at least in these first few games, sent a message to the division that just because they lost Luis Gil for half a season and Gerrit Cole for a full season, that they're not going to be pushed down as the favorites in the division. So I think the Orioles are going to battle, the Red Sox are going to battle, the Yankees are going to battle, and then you have kind of the secondary tier in my mind in that division, which is the Blue Jays and the Rays. All those teams are good. So for me, it's completely on brand right now. First five games go the way that I expected them to go for the most part for Baltimore.
Talking with Scott Braun, it's Inside Access here on the Fence. Scott, well, I'm going to ask you a question we tossed around earlier in the show, and granted, it's one start, so sample size is small, but based on said one start, which was more concerning for you, Charlie Morton or Tamayuki Sagano?
Ooh, both. I didn't like either move. I mean, it's not cheap. It's not what they needed. I'm okay with it if it's coupled with top-end starters, but I just thought it was weird that they were going with guys that are definitely late stage in their career. I know Sagano obviously just got over here, but neither of these pitchers are young, and to me, they're back-end starters, and sometimes a back-end starter in the AL East can look like he shouldn't belong in the league based on how competitive the division is. So my concern level remains high for both of them, right? On the Morton side, I get fear when guys go, hey, remember Adam Wainwright? So good, and all of a sudden last year and change, it snaps, right? And it's similar guy. Velo keeps going down, super curveball reliant. Does the league eventually figure it out so much that the ERA balloons even further from what it was last year? Great pitcher for a long time, gives you innings, but to me it just was not a championship way to handle your starting staff in the offseason. So my concern level in the starting staff remains high for both of them. But yeah, let's see. Let's give them a few more starts.
The Red Sox look like they're back to spending some money, but they also might be dealing with some clubhouse. I don't know if dysfunction's too strong of a word. Is this just a total coinky-dink that all of a sudden Devers can't hit a baseball? Like, he literally can't hit a baseball. And we just played a clip of Cora talking about what an amazing, like,
foul ball.
He loved the one swing and the one at-bat where he fouled the ball off really hard. Like, that's where we are with Rafi Devers.
Yeah, that's not good. For me, I take it one step further because, Jason, I don't think that he's going up there not trying. I'm like, is his shoulder okay? Because he had a shoulder issue last year. It spilled into spring training. Even while they were battling behind the scenes about if he was going to be a third baseman or a DH, he wasn't on the field. He wasn't even playing games for the first, I want to say, at least week and change. So I'm just wondering if he's okay physically. That would be the biggest problem. Of course, we've had some people point out the weight. I don't know enough about what his current weight is versus what it was X amount of days ago to make a difference, but the bat speed does look a little bit slower, and I'm more worried about the shoulder and if we find out that there is that issue still lingering from last year. So I'm sure he's frustrated about everything right now, but he shouldn't be. His team should be better. This is what he called for last spring training. He's like, my team's not doing enough. They're like, cool, we got Bregman, we got Buehler, we got Chapman. We just traded for Crochet and now locked him up for a while. This is what he called for last year, so he should be able to adjust to the DH role. Get Big Poppy in there to show him how to get the routine done. I don't think that's what it is. Do we really think that Rafael Devers can't handle being a DH, even though it is a different role and a different way to prepare? I don't think so. So I think he'll be okay unless his shoulder's messed up. And then I'm worried, and for Orioles fans, obviously you don't want to see anybody damaged goods, but Boston was looked at as this sexy pick to win the division based on Devers still being a superstar bat. If he's not, their offense is probably not as good as Baltimore's offense, for example, who I think was glaringly missing Jordan Westberg down the stretch last year and looks awesome to start the year. So anyway, yeah, I mean, for now we'll monitor it, but that would be my top issue is he healthy?
Scott, we're in peak overreaction season in baseball when we're not even a week in, but you have three teams that yet to have their first win, the Brewers, the Braves, and the Twins. Which of those three are you most concerned about?
Twins. We played this game on our show today. I mean, the Braves obviously just lost an outfielder for half the year, and you don't know what he's going to look like when he comes back in Jerks and Profar, but they're going to get Strider back. They're going to get Acuna back. There's a team that they can beat the crap out of in the division in the Marlins. So it's a slow start, but it's the Padres and the Dodgers on the road. They got to figure out their bullpen. You can trade for that. So I'm okay with the Braves. Are they going to win the division? Not necessarily. I got the Phillies winning the division, but I think the Braves will be a wild card contender. I think the Brewers will bounce back too. They got to figure out their pitching. Obviously, it was a slow offseason for them, and that's starting to bite them early on here with some of their starting pitching injuries. But for me, guys, it's the Twins. One of the worst collapses we've seen in the past decade in the second half of the year that led to that magical run for the Tigers. They did nothing in the offseason. Their ownership situation is in flux. Their superstars are always hurt. And on top of all of that, you have this slow start to the season in a division that is better than people think. The Royals are good. The Tigers, I think, are really good. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be, and the Guardians, of course, are still going to be at least good, if not playoff good again, too. So there's three teams better than them. So if I'm a Twins fan, you needed a fast start. And to me, you got swept by the Cardinals, who are not supposed to be good, and the White Sox just beat the crap out of you yesterday, 9-0. So to me, it's the Twins by far in this equation.
Check out Scott Braun on Foul Territory. You can watch on YouTube and listen to any of the 16 shows on the Foul Territory Network. Scott, always great. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, guys. Good catching up. Catch you soon.
Thank you, sir.
Coming up next, the Maryland Terrapins have a new head men's basketball coach. His name is Buzz Williams. We discuss next here on The Fan.